Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu, Perek Tet, Chapter 9. One of the things that we've seen so far throughout our study of Yeshayahu is that no matter how dire the situation, there is always hope. And this Perek also begins in a very hopeful way. The past two Prakim, Prakim Zayin and Chet, 7 and 8, have focused on the time period of Achaz, king of Yehuda, who, against Yeshayahu's advice, allies himself with the very powerful Assyria in order to protect himself from the more local countries of Aram and Yisrael, the northern kingdom. This prophecy focuses not on the present, but the hope for a better future. And the very first words of this parak say, Ha'am ha'ochim b'choshech ra'u or gadol, predicting that the nation that is currently walking in darkness will see a great light, explaining the good and the clarity that's upcoming. And Yeshayahu develops this in Pasuk Bet, the very next Pasuk, where he heightens this image of light by describing also the emotion of joy that people will once again feel, which he likens to the joy that a farmer might feel after a successful harvest. And then in Pasuk Gimel, he describes the burden that will be lifted from the shoulders of the people. And pretty much all of the medieval Parshanim understand that this burden that will be lifted off of Yehuda will be the burden of Assyria, that in the future, this burden will be lifted from their shoulders. And this salvation is compared to the salvation at the time of Gidon, one of the Shoftim, one of the judges, who scored a sudden and miraculous victory against the Midianites. And this too, the people of Yehuda will feel when the burden of Assyria will be alleviated. They will be alleviated from that burden. Now, what will bring about this great hope and this bright future? It certainly doesn't seem like a reality in the very dark present. So in Pasuk Hei, Yeshayahu explains, Ki yeled yulad lanu, ben nitan lanu, that there a child will be born. And this again continues a theme that we've been discussing, that very often Yeshayahu discusses hope through children and the birth of children. Now, what will be unique about this child? Vatihi ha-misra al-shechmo. So this king is a king that will be a ruler. He will lead. Vayikra shemo, and his name will be Pela Yoetz El Gibor Aviad Sar Shalom. And this complicated name symbolizes all the things that will happen in his time period. There will be miraculous things happening in his time periods, Pla'im. He will be strong. He will be a Gibor. He will continue Aviad, the legacy of his father, ultimately his great-great-great-great-grandfather, David, because he'll be a strong Davidic king, and Sar Shalom, because peace will be achieved in his time period. And what Yeshayahu is describing here is that this child who will be born will ultimately be a king who rules a kingdom that's based on these principles that he's been demanding since Perek Aleph, the principles of Tzedek and Mishpat, righteousness, kindness, justice. And because of that, it will bring about peace. Now, Chazal explained that this king is referring to Chizkiyahu, the son of Achaz. As weak and as evil as Achaz is, that's how great and strong Chizkiyahu will be. The Navi describes him as someone who wears royalty on his shoulders, and freed from the burden of Assyria, he will be free to carry the burden of his own aspirations and his responsibilities. In Pasuk Zion, though, the parak takes a different turn, and in this case, the tone changes. Now, one of the main jobs of the prophet is to help the people of his time period, and really I would say also future time periods, unpack the historical events that are happening to them right now and understand what is behind them. Meaning, it's very easy to see everything playing out in history as a result of political or natural events. But what Yeshayahu wants is for the people to understand a different equation. It's their actions that are motivating the political and physical events around them. And this principle is referred to sometimes as dual causality, meaning that there are two causes for events. There's the physical, natural causes, and those exist. But then there's a more underlying cause, and that's the spiritual cause. Now, what Yeshayahu does is he unpacks different political events. And the first political event that he unpacks is the initial downfall, the teetering of the northern kingdom of Israel, referred to here Shomron, Samaria. And Yeshayahu accuses them of hubris, which is really, I think we've even already seen this just in Yeshayahu, kind of the quintessential sin of Tanakh, the sin of gava, the sin of arrogance. And it's because of this arrogance that when they begin to fall, they mistakenly think that if they could just rebuild themselves or rebuild their physical strength, then they'll be able to withstand their enemies. And Yeshayahu describes, Livenim nafalu vegazit nivneh. And this is their thinking, that, well, if bricks fall, well, we need to get a stronger material, and we'll rebuild with a stronger material. And then in a parallel part, the second half of the pasuk, he says, Shikmim gudau v'arazim nachlif. So if the sycamore trees are cut down, so then we're going to replace them with arazim, like even stronger, the cedar trees. And this, though, Yeshayahu says, is really a lack of self-reflection. And therefore, Hashem says that he will bring destructive forces of Assyria against Israel. But Yeshayahu concludes this section with a refrain, and he says, Bechol zot, lo shavapo ve'od yado netuya. Right? Even with all this, Hashem hasn't withdrawn his anger, and his hand is still outstretched, meaning outstretched in punishment. And why? The next pasuk goes on to explain, because Baha'am lo shav ad makehu, ve'et Hashem tzvako lo darshu. The people haven't turned back to Hashem. And they mean this, all the punishments that have happened to them haven't caused them to return, which makes sense because they haven't self-reflected on the punishments and where they're coming from. And they haven't been Doresh Hashem. Now, this particular pasuk, this ending, becomes a refrain for the next three paragraphs as well. Now, the next group that Yeshayahu takes to task are the leaders. They too suffer from the same hubris, and therefore they will be removed. But still, he continues, Bechol zot lo shavapo ve'od yado netuya. Despite this, Hashem's anger has not been pulled back, and his hand is still outstretched. And then in the third paragraph of this parak, actually the next paragraph with this refrain occurs is in the next paragraph, so we're not going to talk about that now. But in this third paragraph, Yeshayahu laments the way that brothers have turned on each other. And when we say brothers here, specifically, we're talking about the rivalry between Menashe and Ephraim, who are the sons of Yosef, and the children of Yehuda. And this ancient rivalry goes back to the competition that existed between the children of Yaakov, the rivalry between the sons of Rachel and the sons of Leah, and specifically here, the rivalry of who retains the leadership. Is it the leadership of Yosef, or is it the leadership of Yehuda? And this is a rivalry that goes on throughout Tanakh. And this section also ends with that same refrain, Bechol zot lo shavapo ve'od yado netuya. Now, to review, I think that there are a few messages that we can take out of this, and some of them particularly resonant to the era that we are living through right now, which is the era of struggling with the coronavirus. First of all, even in the darkest times, we still anticipate light and joy. And Yeshayahu reminds us that no matter what's happening, never to give up hope in the future. And secondly, while the clear meaning that Yeshayahu demands his people that they should see in the events of the world surrounding them, it's not as clear and direct for us now as it was then. And we have no Navi to explain any correlations. But yet, in our own way, I believe it's still important to search for Hashem, to search for God in any events that are surrounding us. And lastly, perhaps the specific language of the refrain has a message for us. The language of Zroa Netuya, an outstretched arm that Yeshayahu uses to describe Hashem's punishment, is the same language that's also used to describe Hashem's salvation during Yitziat Mitzrayim, when he saved us with a Zroa Netuya, an outstretched arm. And while on the one hand, this is kind of depressing because it highlights how far the people we have fallen, you know, from the time of Yeshayahu, you know, from way back to, you know, back to the time of the Yetziah, the Exodus from Egypt. On the other hand, this can also give us hope, for that salvation can also come again. This Roa Netuya that is now negative can become positive, because no matter the ups and downs, we are always in an ongoing relationship with Hashem. Thank you for studying it together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.